I've often wondered why you do what you do. What is that thing that keeps you coming back to make more content throughout all these years?
I think there has to be a passion for it. Anytime somebody wants to go do this, whether full-time or as a hobby or anything, and they always ask, how do I do it? How do I get into YouTube? How do I get famous and stuff like that? And the first thing I say is you gotta do it because you love it. Because if you're doing it to get famous, you're not going to be happy. Because, A, there's a possibility, a very strong possibility you won't get famous because now there's so many people on YouTube. Like you said before, I got in pretty early, so that was a huge advantage for us. But second, even if you do get famous, like, you won't necessarily be happy because you're not doing what you love. You're not doing it because you adore the work. And that seems like such an obvious thing, but, like, it's surprisingly, there's a lot of people who do this just to get famous. So I think because I do still love doing this, and I love finding different angles, I love finding different ways to talk about movies and do reviews, whether it's, like, right, you know, doing it in song or doing it with characters or doing it with stories, you know, incorporating characters from the movie into the review and talking to them. It's kind of fun discovering these new ways you can do it, aside from just talking to the camera, which we do as well. But if you have the ability to do more, you know, why not? Why not try it?
When you sat down and you did your very first video, did you ever think that it would morph into this thing that it is now, with millions of followers and conventions and bigger productions and stuff like that?
You know, you always hope it will, but realistically, you're saying, nah, this probably isn't going to happen. You know, it started off as a hobby. It was something I was doing at my folks' place at the time. I was a freelance illustrator. You know, and I was doing okay, but not great. And this was just something I did in my spare time. And it just got more and more of a following. And yeah, you do always say to yourself, man, wouldn't it be cool if I got in a fight with the angry video game nerd? Or wouldn't it be cool if, like, you know, I met some voice actors and had them say, like, weird things, like had Pinky and the Brain swear or something like that? And you always think in your head, man, that'd be awesome, but you don't think realistically it's gonna happen. But again, why not try? Why not try reaching out? And it's still crazy to think we've been going, I think, 12 years doing this, you know, because we do love it, and it is such, it's so much fun. It's a lot of work, but it's so much fun.
Has your creative process, the way you set up your reviews and the storylines that you're going to tell within those reviews, has that changed over time, how you put that all together, or has that process remained pretty steady throughout all these years?
It's strange because in some ways the process has stayed the same. For kind of the what I call the editorial reviews, which is the reviews every other week I do, they're a lot... they're kind of a lot simpler. There's usually not a cast to them, and that's kind of done the same way I used to do it early on, where I just watch the movie, take down notes, say jokes as I'm watching it, and then very quickly put a script together, you know, where it's like I can be more analytical about it, but it's also a lot of, you know, making jokes and riffing on it to help the review, you know, and help it be funny. But now that we have like a cast, now that we have a cast and we have more time, it is kind of nice that we can kind of see, maybe this should be represented by a character, or maybe this problem could be represented by a situation or a parody or satire, you know, then maybe create someone completely different just for the review that might be a continuing character or a continuing joke, you know, again, maybe doing a song. So I think from that standpoint, it really has changed. I think if you look at the old videos compared to the videos today, there's a definite style change. And I think that's part of the fun, is that it does change and it does evolve over the years.
How do you and your other writers and your other cast members determine if something is really funny, if it's really going to work beyond just the writer's table?
You know, you just do it. Like, you know, with comedy, that's the best way to find out. You just play it and see if it gets a laugh. There's lots of things I played that just got no laughs whatsoever that I thought would be hilarious. And then there's things that are like, a throwaway joke, but we'll just get, like, people blowing up with how hard they're laughing at it. You know, like, my favorite reviews usually aren't the majority of other people's favorite reviews, but that's part of the fun, is that you kind of, you try different things, you try throwing a bunch of darts at the board, and you see what sticks and what doesn't. So, yeah, you just kind of sit there with the material, you make some jokes off the cuff, and you see, okay, what is funny just in the moment, and then what's really funny when you really think about it. And again, you decide which joke should be really expanded on, which should just be kept to a line, which takes time, but I mean, it's one of those things where, again, sometimes it gets a big laugh, sometimes it gets no laugh, and that's part of the excitement of it, though, is that you're not sure what's going to hit and what isn't.
Is there any difficulty when you're working with your brother? Coming from a family with three brothers, I know it can be kind of difficult on our end. But when you're working so closely with someone that you're related to, does that have its own ups and downs, or is there kind of a dynamic there that just always works?
You know, like you said, being brothers, I mean, we've had like fights and arguments over the years and stuff, but working together has never been, as far as I can remember, that big an issue, like, because our sense of humor is so similar, and the way we work best is that we'll watch the movie together, as you see in our first viewing videos. We'll watch it, we'll make jokes back and forth. I think he's a little better at sort of making those off-the-cuff jokes than I am. And I'll sort of take our jokes and I'll figure out, again, what needs to be expanded on, what should be shortened. And even as we're watching it, we'll kind of say, boy, wouldn't this be a good idea for the review? Or wouldn't this be a cool take on this? Or maybe in the review, this, you know, this character should pop up and this should happen, you know? So it's one of those things where we just kind of bounce ideas off each other. And I think the reason it does work well, though, is that there is still a very solid understanding that if somebody directs something, it's like, okay, they have the final word, kind of thing. You know, there's some things he's directed, and, you know, I'll recommend something and maybe try this angle, but if he says, no, I like this, it's like, I'm gonna go with that. So there's definitely that respect for the other there, that I think really, really helps. But it probably just helps most that, you know, we grew up together, we know each other incredibly well, and we just have a super similar sense of humor. I mean, we both know what makes the other laugh, and it usually makes a lot of other people laugh.
Speaking of your cast that you have Malcolm and you have Tamara. I've interviewed Malcolm before. How did all three of you kind of come to know each other and form this crew?
Well, it started off as an audition process. We were originally doing it for another show we were doing called Demo Reel, and that wasn't getting the numbers we were hoping it would get. And at the same time, I was kind of getting that second win for Nostalgia Critic. I was thinking maybe there is sort of another angle we can take to do these reviews and sort of evolve it, you know, again, beyond just talking to the camera, which is fine, you know, if people talk to the camera, I talk to the camera too, but it's nicer when you can, you know, you have all this, you know, you have props, you have a cast, why not utilize them and really do a review in a different way? So I think they came along pretty much for that show, and then when I got the second win for Nostalgia Critic, I said, do you guys want to still be in this? You know, it's similar to what we're doing with Demo Reel, except it'll be tied in more to Nostalgia Critic. It'll be helping telling a review rather than remaking a movie, you know, in a silly way. And they both said yes. At the time, it was Malcolm and Rachel Teets. She had to go to California, and not had. I mean, she decided to go to California. And her best friend, Tamara, also auditioned, and she was like the second running for the part in Demo Reel. So when we heard Rachel was leaving, we're like, well, we already know who we're gonna get. It's gotta be Tamara, because Tamara was so funny, and she was the second runner-up. And we had her in, we introduced her in the Wicker Man episode, and she just, usually anytime there's somebody new, there's always kind of that backlash, and she just had none of that. Like, just people loved her right away. And it, just from there, like, you know, we shoot every 2 weeks, and it just, we get along better and better. Like, I can't recall any, like, big blow-ups or explosions or anything like that we've had, and our sense of humor has gotten tighter, and we've gotten tighter, and they're just, I can't think of cooler people to work with.
Have you ever thought about making the jump to California to go for the old media, the mainstream media?
Oh, originally that was the plan when I was going to school for film. I was like, well, and I know eventually I have to go to California, I have to go to Hollywood, you know, because that's the route everybody goes. But I was realizing I'm a different person. I have mad respect for the people that go out there and, you know, do what they have to do to get a movie made or whatever, be a writer, be a director, actor, any of that stuff, because I know it's super difficult, and you have to put up with so many different fingerprints on your production and on your work and everything, and you have to fight for it, and I was realizing I wasn't that person. So it made more sense to do the internet route, and the great thing about the internet route is you can stay wherever you want, pretty much. And, you know, we're in Chicago. We're one of the few studios in Chicago, and we love it here, and we love the people here, we love the city, we love the atmosphere. So as of now, there's no real plan to, unless for some reason something like forced our hand or we saw some sort of gigantic benefit, but we really love this city and we love Illinois, so it's definitely not in the cards yet.
As far as growing the brand and continuing to evolve, where do you see Channel Awesome going within the next, say, 5 to 10 years?
We definitely want to try more shows. Again, it's sort of throwing different darts at the board, seeing what sticks. And because we have more people on board right now, too, it's kind of nice to do something where it's like, okay, and I can show up just as actor, you know, and like that's always nice. I can just go and try to make another director's, you know, dream happy, you know, instead of having to plan everything out. So that's really, really nice. And that's the big plan right now, is just to get, just try different things, experiment with a lot more. Even things like in the sponsorships I'm doing in the videos, I put like no thought into those. Like they're just all improvised and they're super silly, and I get the notes kind of last minute, so they have to be put together very quickly, and people love them because they're so odd and they're so weird. So I think we really want to kind of have more fun with that, sort of like that experimenting of trying humor that it is not in our comfort zone usually in terms of like style and tone, and see where we can go from there. That's kind of what I'm most excited to do, is try something that like we're not used to, and see, again, it could go great, could go awful, you know, that's part of the fun though.
Do you foresee digital content eventually edging out television?
I don't know. Like, right now, it seems like a relatively good marriage. It seems like a lot of people are still, you know, streaming. That's a big thing. But television is now going digital as well, and they're being incorporated in streaming. So, I mean, it's totally possible, but at the same time, I mean, everyone thought movies were going to be gone when television came around, you know, and I feel like movies got smart and movies, you know, evolved with it. So I'm hoping television does the same thing. It looks like it's still keeping alive, but it's something where I don't necessarily want to see it all disappear. I like the tie-in of television and digital media. Like, we watch Hulu, we do Amazon, of course Netflix, you know, and YouTube. I mean, we'll just turn on the TV and watch YouTube now. So I'd like to see a good marriage of it continue. I don't know if it will, but I hope it does.
My last question is for those people that are looking to get into content creation and doing their own thing. What would be your advice to those people?
You know, it's the same advice I gave earlier. It's the same advice I give everyone, but it is so true. You got to do it because you love it. That's just the number one rule. I've come across so many people who do not do it because they love it, and they're usually miserable. They do it because they want the attention, they want more people looking at them on social media or their videos, that they want to get in arguments with people and stuff, or they just like the fame. And one of two things can happen. They either don't get the fame, in which case they get very angry, or worse, they do get the fame, and they're still miserable, and they don't know why. It's a difficult thing to watch, but with that said, I know so many people who do this because they do love it. You know, James Rawl, Andre Meadows, I mean, so Brad Jones, like so many people that do this because they just love the hell out of it, and they'd be doing it even if it went nowhere. So if it does go nowhere, at least you can look back and say, you know, I did that because I loved it anyway. I have no regrets. I'm so glad I did that because that's what I adore. And if it does go somewhere, you'll be all the more humble for it. You'll be all the more thankful and blown away that, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. You know, there's other things that you can do, you know, be persistent, be brutally honest with yourself when you're watching a video that you made. You know, be like, if I was clicking on this, would I watch this all the way through? Would I even watch past the first 5 seconds? If not, what should you change? Same thing with the title, same thing with the title card. You know, just anything where you're like, you know, would I watch this? Honestly, if I was taken out of the equation, would I watch this? And just be brutally honest. That's probably the best advice I can give. Just be as genuine as you can. Do it because you love it, and be just super, super honest with yourself.